And if you would please open to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're continuing on in our study of Back to the Basics. We're going to be on the fifth commandment today. Very simply to read, it says, to honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. A simple statement that has profound implications today. The first four commandments provides the means for us to rightly relate to God. The next six commandments sets the stage for us to know how to rightly relate with one another. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but I have seen in our society and perhaps even around our world a trend away from the honor due the parents of children. I don't know if you've seen that. Kids being a little bit more rebellious this day and age. Maybe I'm just thinking back to my own days, thinking a little... Maybe I got a little clouded picture of how rebellious I really was. Maybe I was worse off than I thought I was. I don't know. But it seems to me today there is a marked increase in the rebellion of children towards the authorities that are established over their lives. Now, this is not surprising when you read in 2 Timothy where Paul tells Timothy, one of the signs of the end times is that children will be disobedient to their parents. It's a sign, it's an evidence that things are coming to an end, that this world which is seeming to spiral out of control, one of the things that we should be watching for, are children more rebellious today than they were in the past? Yes or no? Amen or oh my? Come on. And say amen or oh me, but let me know you're alive, okay? So, we're in a day where children are inundated with all sorts of other voices around them. You can't seem to see a teenager walk around today without their eyes pasted onto a small little box with a little keyboard attached and they're just texting their life away. Well, who are they talking to? I was driving, and James, you're going to have to be a part of the sermon today, but I was driving my son and his cousin. We're going, taking them home, taking them back down, and there they are sitting in the seats behind me in the car, and I'm taking Sam, his cousin, home. And there's silence in the back, quietness. Here is James and his twin cousin, and they're not talking to each other. So we have this little spy mirror in the car. And you flip the little spy mirror down. You can see every seat in the back. And so I flip the little spy mirror down. I'm looking in the back and I'm watching my son and his cousin. And they're both got their eyes pasted to some little tiny screen. And I like, talk to each other. He came to spend the night with you so that you guys could get together and visit and talk and share and enjoy each other's company. No, they just got their boxes and off they go. Our children are inundated by these things. When I was growing up, and I mean, far be it from me to lament about the difficulties of growing up, but when I was growing up, we had six channels on TV. And I didn't have control of any of them. My dad said, oh, no, it's Gunsmoke. That's all we watch, Gunsmoke, it seemed like. And I didn't have a choice. Now there's 500 channels and nothing to watch. And the expression of kids on TV today is also very challenging. I don't want my child to imitate Bart Simpson. I mean, whatever happened to, you know, Andy and Opie? Whatever happened to Leave It to Beaver? And, you know, these kinds of things, you know. Father Knows Best. That was the title of a show. Father Knows Best. Today, it's Father's the Imbecile in the House. Have you ever watched a commercial? Who is always the dumb one? It's the dad. Pay attention to commercials with that in mind and ask yourself, who is the one they're portraying as stupid? It's the father. The children always have the best answer. And that is notorious for the deconstruction of the family. I remember listening to a newscast, and Al Gore was speaking to a group of students. And you know what he said? He said, "You know more than your parents do. So don't listen to them when it comes to this idea." That's what he said. Well, first of all, I wasn't in the room because I would have had a few words with Mr. Gore. But children haven't lived long enough to know anything. We were at the store yesterday, and James pointed out this book to me. It was Justin Bieber, or whatever his name is. And he's got his own biography now. He's like 16. He hasn't lived long enough to even have a bio, let alone a whole book called a biography. But this is the mentality today, that children are wiser than their parents. And so it strikes as an absolute discord to a child, or even to some young adults, that to honor your father and mother is of any value whatsoever. There is a deconstruction of the family happening in our world. And it's bringing about the destruction of our nation. And we're going to take a look at what this really means, this fifth commandment. Why would God tell us this fifth commandment to honor our fathers and mothers? Let's pray. Lord God, you tell us that it's going to go well with us if we honor our fathers and mothers. Show us how. Teach us the way, Father. Make us aware of how the world is trying to dissolve this requirement and lead an entire generation into rebellion. Help us as parents to guide and help navigate our children through these rocky waters. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. It begins very honestly just here, and it's going to be very simple. It begins with your first relationship. Why would God put this command as the very first command in dealing with humanity? Well, it's very simple. In the law that governs all human relationships, the first one is directed at the first relationship everyone has, mom and dad. That is your very first line of contact with humanity, is your mom and dad. Everything else will come after that. And let me say this, it might seem like it's a simple point, but the way you relate to your parents will often dictate how you relate to everyone else. The way you relate to your parents will often dictate how you relate to everyone else. So the first command in dealing with human relationships is to deal with the first relationship you have. And that's your parents. It is disastrous to have a child grow up who devalues their parents. Because then if you can devalue your parents, you can devalue anyone. There's a reason why the scriptures tell us, as far as parents go, to spare the rod is to spoil the child. Now, does that mean that I walk around with an iron rod at home just waiting for my kids to really mess up? I do not. Don't nod your head. I may now, though. That's not the idea. The idea is that we are given the responsibility to bring discipline to the undisciplined. See, a child is undisciplined. And it is the parent's responsibility to bring discipline to that child, to bring a sense of order and a constructed life to that child can grow in a framework that is going to establish a pattern that is going to carry on for generations to come. What did God tell Solomon? If you walk in the ways of your father David, and keep my law, you will prosper. I'm paraphrasing. 1 Kings, if you want to find it. How many of us are teaching our children to walk in the ways of their heritage? Now, you may be an adult, and by the way, and we'll get to this in a moment, this command is not spoken just to children. God didn't all of a sudden say, okay, hold on just a minute. All you adults, step aside for a minute. I want to talk to the kids. He's talking to the adults because adults, more than children, have the capacity to honor their parents. Children are learning how. Adults ought to know how. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the fact is that we as parents have the responsibility to navigate our children in a way that they're going to build a life that honors not just us, but the Lord. Because we have a heritage that comes down from the faith of Abraham through Moses and so on, right through our Lord Jesus Christ and right down to the hearts and souls of our children that need to be regarded as holy. To allow a child to rebel against you as a parent is to give them the idea that the rules and established laws that God has set for all of humanity do not apply. But they will apply in time. The Bible says this, if we do not discipline ourselves, our Lord will discipline us. And I'm going to tell you this, parents, if you do not discipline your children, I'm not talking about beating and destroying your kids. Bible tells us to not exasperate our children, that is to overburden them, but to fit them into a life of ordered discipline where they become the vessels to carry the love and truth of Christ to the next generation. That's what it is to discipline your children. To expose them and express to them and to be for them the model, but also to be for them the one who molds. But what if your children are all grown up? They're out of the house. Do you still have a responsibility to them, parents? Absolutely. And this is not just a parent sermon. But absolutely. You still have a responsibility to be for them who they can still look back to with honor and say, you know what? This is what mom used to do. This is what dad would do. If I were in this situation, if my dad were here right now and he could do what I had to go through, he could endure what I had to endure, this is the way he would do it, and he would succeed. And I'm going to do it the way dad taught me. I'm 43 years old and I'm still quoting my own father who passed away 8 years ago. Why? Because what he built into my life is something that was lasting and enduring. And that's what we build into our children's lives. It's something that will last, something that they will hold on to. And when they look back upon their life and they come against things in life that are going to be difficult, they're going to honor us in a way that they're going to say, you know what, this is what dad would do. And maybe they don't know. And they're going to call and they're going to say, dad, how do I handle this situation? Give me some instruction. You're going to honor your parents that way. But this first relationship you have will mark every other relationship you encounter. I love this in Proverbs 23. The father of a righteous man has great joy. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Kids, can your parents rejoice over you? I'm talking to all kids, whether you're 80, whether you're 8, doesn't matter. Can your parents rejoice over you because you are a wise and noble child? Because they built into you something that lasts. You see, this relationship you have with your parents is more than just having to grow up in a home. More than just having to obey their rules until you can get out from under their thumb. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but once you got out from underneath your parents, how often that structure of their life was needed in yours. Patty's oldest daughter has begun building a life very similar to her mother's. Of frugality, of looking at necessity rather than luxury, of recognizing the importance of raising her own children now. It's amazing how she said when she was, 13 or 14 or 15, something like that, I'm never going to have kids, never going to be like this, it's never going to happen to me. Well, surprise, surprise. She needed that structure and framework in her life. And now she goes back to it as a security. And it honors her mother. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It begins with recognizing that this is your first relationship. It continues with recognizing your filial responsibility, which is to honor them. To honor, that word honor means to uphold or uplift or to show reverence and duty and recognize their position in your life. To honor them is not just to say, oh yeah, mom and dad did it right. It's to look upon them as, I can't even find the right words, as more than significant. As the means by which you know your life is right. Now, not all of us had honorable parents. I don't know what your heritage is. I don't know what your parentage is. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so we didn't have a lot of Christianity in our home. We had a lot of football. But my dad grew up in a very stern home, very strict. He eased off from what his dad did to him to what we endured. But one of the things I learned from my dad, and you may think this is odd, because my dad, if you looked at him, he looked like he belonged to the mafia. If he wore his pinstripe suit, you just know there's a gun tucked in there somewhere. I learned, honestly, at the age of 16, I learned how to hold my wife's hand. From my father. You say, that's not hard. I mean, you just grab the hand and you hold it, right? No, that's not what I mean. I learned how to walk side by side with my wife by observing my dad and the love he had for his wife. I sat at his bedside as he was looking towards eternity. And I told him that he may very well be the greatest hero I ever had. I told him what I learned from him. I sat for hours with him. And as he was listening to me, he couldn't hardly even talk. He understood. I wanted to honor him. I wanted him to know how much he meant to me and how much he built into my life and how much I am like him. You see, I respect my father. I don't approve of everything he did, but I loved him. And children, as we grow and become the men and the women that God wants us to be, it is to honor our parents as a highest priority that God has given us. This command is not just spoken to children. There are many ways to honor your parents. You honor your parents by showing them respect and love and gratitude. But you also honor them by striving to become honorable yourself and carry your family name with the nobility and make it a name worthy of honor. My brother, when he was young, he was 17. He had enlisted in the Navy. And his time for departure was coming near, and he was getting nervous and kind of a little agitated. And my dad's like, "You made a promise, son. You don't back out of this." And my brother was, "Dad, I don't want to join the Navy now. I don't want to go there. It's not for me. I don't want to be a part of that." My dad was, you promised them. You gave them your word that you were going to uphold this, and now you have to." And my brother, he ran away from home at the age of 18. He made it down to California. He showed up somewhere in the San Francisco Bay Area. Found work and just kind of started trying to live his life. And here, still hanging over his head, was this promise to the Navy. He would call home, and with tears, my dad wouldn't talk to him. Mom would talk to him. I would say a few words. But my dad wouldn't say a word to him because he dishonored my father. You make a commitment, he says, you don't break it. You don't shirk your responsibilities. You don't turn aside from it. And this went on for months. My brother and my dad were so much alike, so stubborn. And my brother Jim would not go and take this on. And the distance just kept getting greater and greater between them. So finally he called one afternoon, my brother did, and he said, "Mom, I want you to tell Dad that I went down to the recruiters here, and they swore me in, and I step into my naval uniform in a week." And he upheld his commitment. And my dad, from that point on, forgave and respected my brother. But he would not respect him until my brother did the honorable thing. You see, there's a lot of ways to honor your parents. And there is a lot of ways to honor your parents. But one of the best ways to honor your parents that I know is to become honorable yourself, to bear their name with dignity and nobility, to show forth in your life the very character of Christ. In Timothy chapter 5, it's not going to be on the board, 1 Timothy chapter 5, just a real quick example of another way to honor your parents. 3. Pardon my voice. "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. For this is pleasing to God." We owe a great deal to our parents and grandparents. And if we have in our lives someone who is in need, who is it's our filial responsibility. It is our family responsibility that we should live up to this requirement. Do you have a widow in your family? Do you have older parents who are in need? Do you have somebody along your line of history that still needs you to be a part of who they are? I think it's despicable the way some parents get just shoved aside by their kids. We have friends of ours down in Centralia. And they're good friends, and they're godly people. And they put their kids through school. And their kids get great jobs, and mom and dad are still struggling financially, just barely making ends meet. And their kids are living in the lap of luxury because of the sacrifice of their parents. And when their parents came under a great need, their children had nothing to do with them, to help them out. I found that to be despicable. Here they are sitting. I mean, how many plasma TVs do you need in your house? I saw somebody say, we need at least one. Really, honestly, how many of the luxuries of this crazy world do you need? And that you rip it away from being able to help those who are dearest and closest to you. If you are willing to purchase a toy of the world, when you have a parent in need, you've dishonored them. They who have sacrificed so much for us deserve our gratitude. Honor your father and your mother. It is your responsibility. Jesus gives us this example here in Matthew chapter 15. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to God. He is not to then to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You know, I'd love to help you, folks. But what I have here is devoted to God. Really? You ever gone back to the command, Jesus says, and realize what he really wants? God is not pleased with our sacrifice if we first of all do not love as he loved. What are the sacrifices of God? A broken and contrite heart. A willingness to express that sense of love toward those who are in need. And first of all, it comes to your father and mother. I told my mom the other day that I'm praying and hoping that somewhere along the way, bestsellers will be pouring out of me. She said, well, I hope you do too, son. I said, no, you don't understand, Mom. I said, I promised her when I was 15 that I would buy her a house. Actually, I told her I'd buy her an entire island, but I don't think I can afford that. But I was 15 years old, and I promised her she would never be without a place to be. And I still hold to that promise. And it was an honor for me. You know, I took this trip to Texas, if you all read about it. I don't know if you noticed, I was gone for a couple of weeks back a while ago. You may not have noticed. But I took this trip to Texas with my mom. And mom, she had this crazy idea of which direction she wanted to go. And I was heading straight for Texas, and she wanted to take the entire country scenic road. And I'm like, all right, it's an extra day and a half with my mom. How could that be bad? That could only be good. Until we got to Denver and broke down. But that's another story. But the reality is to honor my mom. I wanted to give her something. I can't give her what she really needs. I can't give her all of the security that I want to. But I can give her what I can. I can honor her with what I'm able to do. There's a strong need today in the body of Christ to look up to the faithful, who have stepped before us. There are too many churches casting off the faith of their parents to pursue a course that walks in the guidance of the world. I think it's a travesty in our churches today to push aside those who have lived long and have guided their lives in Christ and to say, well, they don't have any value anymore. It's all for the young, you know. It's all for the up-and-comers. It's all for this and that. And I think of Solomon's son, who was such a nut. I mean, Solomon's son was telling the people, and all of the wise leaders were around him, telling him, you know what, if you lower things down and make it a little easier for the people, they're going to follow you everywhere. And he's listening to these wise senior counselors that his father had had. He said, you know, I'm going to talk to my buddies instead. And he got all of his young friends around him, and he said, no, we've been living in the lap of luxury. Make it twice as hard for him. Make it really bad. And so he goes to the people. And he ignores the counsel of the wise, he listens to the counsel of his foolish friends, and he divides the nation. It is a travesty to ignore the counsel of those veteran Christians who have walked at length with Christ. I think it's foolish to say they have no value. My father-in-law endured that here at their last church. He's 80,000 years old. And he is a veteran in the faith. A godly man, a man full of grace, with wisdom to spare. And the church, and not the church itself, but the pastor basically told him, you're too old. You don't have anything to offer here. This man who had been preaching the gospel for, I don't know, 50 years, relegated to a minor role in the church with no voice in the congregation. That was foolish. It is wrong to do that. It is not to honor your fathers and mothers by casting aside all of those who have walked before us. Embrace the wisdom of those who have walked this path. Honor your father and mother. It is the first relationship you have. It is your filial responsibility, and it promises your future reward. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The very nature of this command is that the children would carry on the faith of their family. As long as they honored their fathers and mothers and upheld the love for God that the parents had, the children would dwell long in the land, for God's judgment would never have to come. There's a lot of conversation today about our nation falling under judgment. Is America being judged? Well, we'll probably know come November 2nd. Perhaps things might get better. I don't know. But is our nation under God's judgment? If it is, this may very well be the reason why. Because we've cast off the old ways. Have you ever thought how far back your heritage in America goes? There are founding fathers. They call them founding fathers for a reason. Not just because they were dads, but because they began the first principle foundation for this country. And if we cast off those founding principles, which were built out of the Word of God, if we do not honor our heritage that was built out of the Scriptures, we're going to find that we will not live long in the land. Heard one guy say, well, what this really means is that if you don't honor your father and mother are going to make sure you don't live long. But I don't think that's actually what it necessarily means. But suffice it to say, there was a requirement in the Old Testament where if you had an unruly child who would not submit to the discipline of their parents, You brought him into the city square. And everybody gathered around. They didn't sing him Kumbaya. They gathered around this unruly child and they stoned him to death. Say, oh, how cruel, how horrible, what a terrible punishment. Well, he may have very well stopped a whole lot of unruliness. If you know the next step in the parade is for you to go out in the middle of the court and be stoned to death by the city, that may have stopped a little of disobedience. But I think it's more along the lines of like this, that God puts that command in there. What parent who loves their child is not going to do everything they can to draw that child out of selfishness and disobedience so that they will never have to go before the magistrates of the city and be stoned to death? What parent would let their child go through that without first striving in every possible contingency to save that child? I think that command was more for the parents, that they would see the importance that God values on a home that is built on the Word of God and children that are structured for the gospel. You will live long in the land. I believe we are always one generation away from losing everything that we have. If we do not build into the next generation what God requires, or if we do not look back and honor the generation that has come before, we're going to lose our dwelling place in this land. Not just our home, but our capacity to live. We look back and we shun the foundations of our fathers. We look forward and we disregard the needs of our children. And our generation is lost. You see, there's so much more to this command than just to be nice to your parents. This command is built and given to provide a structure and a requirement that society itself is built upon. That's why it's the first command in your human relationships. Because this is where life and society are built. Turn with me, if you would, and we'll close here with a couple of passages. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting with verse 1. These are the commands, Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I gave you. And so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Go down to verse 20 of that same chapter. In the future, when your son asks you, What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders great and terrible upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us up, he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. How many of us teach that to our kids? How many of us bind it on our foreheads? I'm not talking about walking around with something stuck to your head. I'm talking about something, you impress it upon your brain until it's something permanent. You put it on your hands. That is, it's something you carry with you all the time. You write it on the door frames of your home. Even as you enter your house itself, the entrance of your home is the Word of God. I want to jump to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll close with this scripture. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Again, this is not just written to kids. It's written to us. Do you honor your father and mother? Do you look to them with a sense of gratitude and respect and love, and you say, I am so thankful that you brought me into this world. Thank you for building into my life the heritage of faith. Maybe you have parents that you say are not honorable people. They brought me into the world, but I don't want anything to do with them. They're cruel and hard and unjust and unfeeling, and they have nothing of Christ in them. We all have parents that might be like that. That there is somebody in your life in your past that you're just like, I don't want to associate with them. Trust me, I've got some folks on my dad's side of the family that I'll go to their funeral, but I'm not inviting them to dinner. You know, I don't want to, but I can still honor them by becoming honorable myself. Perhaps your parents had a bad name. You can change that. You can honor them still by becoming the kind of person that Christ wants you to be. And it will honor them when they see the purity of your lives. It will change them. You may not be able to honor them in the way that you really hope you can. I can't give my mom all that I want to, but I can give her what I can and help her where I can and be a part of her life as much as I can. Do you have a widow in your family that needs your help? Well, the Bible clearly commanded us to be a part of that. And do you realize how valuable that promise is? That if we are to honor our parents, we will dwell long, even in this land. Let's close with prayer. Stand, please.